want to title it, though, this. Really, really love. We need to really love people, but you've got to do it with real love. I think we have our own mindset of what love looks like at times, but we need to learn what this real love is. Now, I'm going to make a statement, but I don't want you to say amen, okay? Here's this. Do not say amen. We all have been around people who just rub us the wrong way. I know you want to say amen. I mean, of all statements, it's like, hey, that one I'll say amen to. It's sad that there are people out there who we probably would rather not hang around or be around, and it's because maybe they've done something or said something that offended us or offended our family, and we've gotten hurt. We've gotten hurt by things said or things done. It might even be that you're struggling in that relationship with them because of the way you've seen them treat others, and therefore, I don't like what they're doing. Or it could be that even your perception, believe it or not, could be skewed. You could be wrong about them. Yet somewhere you've chosen that some reason you say, I don't like them. Now, most likely, all of you probably thought of a name went through your mind in this process. And sadly, those are our feelings that we have, and it's a part of our natural human response to think or to act that way. But Jesus reminds us that our natural desires, by the way, are sinful. What we naturally do pulls us to the sin side and not to the God side. And whether you know it or not, maybe this is what we're learning as we're walking through the series, that we should live and think differently than the rest of the world. This morning, we're going to look at a passage that's probably fairly well known, at least portions of it, not just inside the church, but outside the church. It's found in Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there, or your electronic copy, you can look at it. The scriptures will be on the screen, but we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 36 today. This scripture, I believe, can be a tough passage to live by. It will challenge you to rethink how you think about people. And when you hear what the passage says, you might even want to make excuses to why you do not want to live the way Jesus tells us to live. Church, I need to remind you of all scripture is useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, then we need to listen to it, amen? We need to choose and learn to do the right thing. So that means we need to probably pay the most attention when we are the most uncomfortable. Yahoo! Like, I don't like that scripture. Well, that ought to be a key to kind of wake up. Luke 6, 27 through 36 basically has two parts to it. There is a command, and then there is a reason for the command. So let's start by looking at what Jesus says and look and see what he commanded in Luke 6. We're going to read 27 through 31 to get started. But to you who are listening, and let me pause and let that sink in for a moment. We just came out of the blessings and the woes last week. But yet he starts this passage off not just with content, but now he comes and personally says, but to you who are listening. You have a choice today to listen, and you have a choice to not listen. And it's going to be your choice. But Jesus says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Father, we bow our hearts, and really we want to bow our minds and really our lives to you today. I pray that, Lord, that you would help us be teachable today, that we would listen. Holy Spirit, would you direct our thoughts and our actions so that they could be pleasing to the Lord. Help us to bring you glory as we live as your ambassadors in this world. I pray this for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In this passage, Jesus is telling the people that you're to love your enemies, do good to those who mistreat you, bless those that curse you, pray for those who've done wrong to you. They're kind of basically commands to do the opposite of what naturally comes to us. Don't act the way you used to act. Jesus is teaching us to treat people the right way, no matter what they've done or who they are. And I'm sure that this was contrary to the understanding of what the people thought back in Jesus' time. Because I want to look at the parallel account of this in Matthew, where Jesus is actually refuting the teaching of the day. Matthew 5, this is the same kind of story, verses 43 to 45. He said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." You see, the teachers of the law had interpreted the command to love your neighbor as meaning love only your neighbor. You can hate your enemy, but if they live next to you, you got to love them. It really was their teaching. They basically acknowledged you got to love your neighbor. So the implication on the other side was, if they're not your neighbor, you're not obligated to love them. In fact, later on in Luke, Jesus is going to tell the story of what you know as the Good Samaritan. How many have ever heard that story? To a man who was there in that room that day, who had a similar understanding of the law, that you can love God, but you hate your enemy. And when Jesus asked him, he said, "What does the law say?" The man responded and said, "Well, you're to love God and love your neighbor." And Jesus said, "You're exactly right." But the man came back with a follow-up question and said, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, I'm not going to spend time in that story today because we're going to get to it in a few months, okay? But Jesus wanted to correct the misunderstanding of the law. And so he's emphasizing that we have a responsibility to love everyone. That true love, that real love, is to be exercised and given to anyone and everyone, regardless of our feelings about them. I'm sure that this teaching was radical in its day, and it's probably no less radical for us today. After Jesus' statement, though, he continues with some examples because he wants to drive home his point. So he says, hey, if someone strikes you on the cheek, I mean, if they punch you in the jaw, you should turn to them the other jaw or the other cheek. He said, man, if somebody takes your coat, rip off your shirt and give it to them also. If someone asks something of yours and they want it, just give it to them. If someone steals from you, don't demand it back. Now, if we take Scripture literally today, Christians will be people who are beaten up, bruised, broken, and just flat broke. Evil will have triumphed, and those who follow Christ will have been taken advantage of. That's if you take this literally that way. But I think Jesus is using examples to help illustrate a heart position that we should have. And the reason I believe that is because the Scriptures actually record an account where Jesus was struck in the face. John 18 records it for us, verse 21 to 23. Jesus is there before the high priest, and he's about to be taken away, and he'll be led to the cross in just a few hours from this moment, but they're questioning him after the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 21, Jesus is talking to them and says, "Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." Verse 22, when Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. Now, in that moment, Jesus did not turn to him and say, "You go ahead, hit me on the other side." He didn't do that. In fact, we have his response in verse 23. He says, "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" My question is, so is Jesus ignoring his command to us? Of course not. Our confusion comes when our misunderstanding what Jesus really meant about turning the other cheek. Two thoughts about that. One is, I believe Jesus was emphasizing this. We should not respond to evil with evil. Bottom line. Jesus was not saying that we couldn't point out that someone's, you're acting unjustly or you're doing the wrong thing. He does that in that moment. If I really am wrong, show me what I'm wrong with. And then if I'm not wrong, can you tell me why you hit me? I mean, anybody ever had that wonderment in your mind? But he's not saying that being mistreated gives us a license to mistreat others. That's not what he's saying. But we shouldn't follow our normal human response to inflict some same kind of pain, or even greater pain if we can sometimes, upon others. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus, though, is also not commanding that we become a punching bag. Rather, he's saying, don't repay evil with evil. And a second thought about this is we should respond with forgiveness and not show our hurt. If you get hit on one side of your face, did you know, I really believe you can turn the other cheek, turn to the other side and show them the side where you're not hurt, showing your good side, reflecting the Father. Did you remember what Matthew 5:45 said, that you may be children of your Father in heaven? Church, if our Father in heaven forgives us, then in turn, as children, we ought to forgive others. Amen? How many remember the Lord's Prayer, the part that says, "Father, forgive me my trespasses, my debts"? We cry that out, but don't miss the part that Jesus also adds, "I forgive those who've trespassed against me." There's a place where we're not responding the old way, but we're changing into a new way. The same is true with all of Jesus' examples here. He's emphasizing the kind of heart, the attitude that God desires from us. And that attitude is going to be radically different than the attitude of our normal responses in those occasions. Jesus is teaching you got to be willing to forego some of your rights in this world. I know with our kids sometimes we're like, "Now listen, you don't ever hit a kid at school, but if they hit you..." If they start it, and I wonder, you know, because we're just wanting our kids to stand up and not be bullied and all that good stuff. But I get that, but listen, we're not of the world anymore. We're different. And you understand, we give up our rights that some may think that you deserve in this world, but we do it for the sake, catch this, for the sake of other people having the opportunity of seeing what the Heavenly Father is like. How often do they get to see that in the week? I think they could see it through you. As much as possible, I'll put it that way, we should be willing to show real love to others. Even if you don't like them, even if they don't deserve it, you need to really love them. In Luke 6:31, Jesus kind of distills this concept down into one single phrase. In Luke 6:31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Most of you know it as what? The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That rule actually comes from this passage, or in Matthew 7:12, where it's also found. Now, I know that some people in our world, they've embraced that rule because they see practical value to it. And the popular understanding of that golden rule is basically treat others like you want to be treated. That's the idea. Because what goes around comes around. So you want to do the right thing is what they're saying. And I do believe there's an element of truth to that, but in understanding it maybe only in that way, you miss the very point that I believe Jesus is teaching. Because Jesus is teaching us to love properly no matter how we're treated. To know the command to love your enemies. But why? What's the reason? I got to have a reason for walking this out. Well, let's look at it. Jesus is about to explain that if your motivation for loving others is so that they will love you, you've missed the heartbeat of God. We're not to love our enemies so we can get something out of it, but we're to do it so they can get something out of it. They get to see the love of God. Listen to Luke 6, 35 and 36. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Jesus is teaching the reason to treat others with love is because we want to be just like our Heavenly Father. We're children of the Most High. And the Father who is willing to show His love to anybody who's ungrateful and even people who hate Him, He's still willing to show His love. Romans 5:8 tells us this and gives us that example. It says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still what? People who mess up? People who miss the mark? People who have done things against His will and His law and His commands? What He loved us because Christ died for us. Later on, actually two verses later in verse 10, Paul actually calls us enemies of God. That's what we were. We were enemies of God. But God loved His enemies so much, He demonstrated His love. He just didn't say it. He demonstrated it by sending Jesus to die for us, to die in our place so He could restore a relationship so we would not be distant from Him. Church, Jesus is teaching that we're to be different than the average person in this world. Because the love of God that we've received through Christ and what He did makes us different. And we're going to stand out as different people in this world. Sadly, the way the world understands that golden rule, they kind of say it, do good to others because eventually others will do good to you. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Listen to the words in verses 32 to 34. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid fully. Let me ask for a moment, and I'm not calling your bank a sinner, but how many know your bank would like repayment for your mortgage or your car or whatever? They didn't go, oh, I just love you here. The world operates on this system, but we don't. We operate on a godly principle. Church, if we live like the world, we will not stand apart from the world. We as disciples of Jesus Christ, we've been called to be sons and daughters of the Most High. And to reflect that, we're going to have to learn to really love. Love our enemies with that deep love that we're learning from God. How do we actually go about doing this? How are we going to start developing a family resemblance to Jesus? How do we begin to love like He loved us? Well, let's start here. First, you need to know this. It will not come naturally. It will come as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives. Galatians 5:22 starts by saying this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Having the Spirit of God in our life. Now, there's 9 fruits listed there that ought to be produced in us, but He starts with this one called love. It is the beginning of learning to love people the right way. Listen to what John tells us in 1 John 4. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Now listen to verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. And you need to know that's going to take a conscious effort on your part to work at loving people. No matter how they treated you, no matter what they've done, consciously, you need to go, I'm going to love them. I want to take a moment, I'm going to read a paraphrase of this from the Message. I just want you to hear it kind of in vernacular terms, just terms that we kind of how we talk, and that's why he paraphrased it for us. And here's what it says. To you who are ready for the truth, how many think you're ready for the truth? I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. Not eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know what I'm talking about. It's not trying to get back. He goes on. Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity. Do you know we all need a God-created identity in us now? Live out that way, the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind. You be kind. Church, the ultimate thing is that the goal of this command is to hold out God's love to a world that desperately needs it. The problem is that kind of real love is not natural. You can't carry it out in your own strength. I know, though, God can help us because he put his Spirit within us. So let me ask a very direct question. If you find yourself saying this, I could never show love to, and you fill in the blank. If you say that, just maybe you need to experience the love of God in a fresh way in your personal life again. We've been called to love people, not because the love comes from us, but because we begin to allow God's love to flow through us. I'm not saying it will be easy, because I know that some of you have been hurt more deeply than I could ever imagine. But you need to know this. Jesus endured a deeper hurt than any of us could ever imagine. He left the splendor of heaven and came to earth and was rejected by his own creation. I can't imagine God showing up. I made you. I formed you. But they did not understand who he was. Hebrews 12 tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. If you read the previous chapter, chapter 11, it's the heroes of faith. All these people who have given their lives, held on in faith. In fact, it talks about those that were martyred, kind of like the disciples, and those who were sawed in two, all because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, it's like we're in a stadium. Yet we're still on the track running around. But there is a great cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on today. They're saying, you can make it. You can do it because the love is there. It's been placed in you. Let it out. But he gives us some ideas of what we're going to have to do. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Come on, you get hurt, it's so easy to respond back. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we do so by verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him. Think about it. Just consider him for a moment, who endured such opposition from sinners. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We got to keep my eyes fixed on him, considering what he did and what he taught and what he's showing and how he lived so that I begin to resemble him in the way I live. Jesus went to the cross for us, and now as children of God, we should be willing to extend that same kind of love to everybody else. It's Jesus who hangs on the cross, and one of his last statements that he gives to the world is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Do you think everybody knows what they're doing when they hurt you and offended you? I'll be honest with you, most of the times, they don't even know they did it. When do we walk with such love that says, hey, you don't even know what you're doing, but I'm going to love you. I choose to love you. Here's my challenge. You're going to have to start with somebody. You're going to have to start loving your enemy. You'll probably have to start really small. I'll be honest with you, it's better to take baby steps than leaps at this point, because you're going to leap and you'll probably get hurt again. But if you just take a baby step, and a baby step might be, first of all, just praying for them. Now listen, there's a country song out there, and I've brought it up to you before, and I just remind you of it, that this is not the idea that I'm asking you to do, because this country song talks about praying for people. But it says, I pray that a pot falls on their head. I pray that their tire blow out while they're going 80 miles an hour down the road. That's not the type of praying, church. Why don't we bless them? Lord, I know what they did, but would you bless them? I know we want to pray, God, I want them to meet you. I want them to know you. And sometimes we pray, Lord, I wish they would be like me. I don't want them to be like me. Lord, I want them to know you and be like you. And somehow we're going to have to begin that. So here's what I'm going to tell you. The key is to start. You just got to start. The second part of that, choose to never stop. You know, sometimes we start things and we don't finish well. But if you're listening today, really listening, we're not just going to be hearers of the word. We're going to be doers of the word. In fact, you're going to hear that next week, because that's kind of how he wraps all this up. Because I don't want to be just a hearer. I need to respond. Church, eternity is too long for us not to show God's love to people. To those who even consider maybe as enemies, And enemies are not always people who hate you. It's sometimes because we've made them, because we've pushed them away. Church, I don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. Nobody. And God doesn't either. His desire is that all come to repentance. Oh, I heard, you know what I just said. You're right. He does want them to repent. He wants them to change. But it starts with forgiveness. It starts with a love from a representation, a representative of God. We need to learn to really forgive.